College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss everything involving, mostly on the field, college football. What a week we had. Obviously, you know, you either had a really good game, you know, in Oklahoma-Baylor or Ohio State-Wisconsin. The fact that Wisconsin was able to get up on them at half made it for an interesting game. You did have Oregon and LSU just smacking the, you know, putting the beat down. Same with Clemson. You know, so there's a variety. Our Raging Cajuns almost pulled the upset. So there is a variety of things that we'll talk about on the show today. It will be a shortened show. We aren't going to go over an hour, hour 20 minutes or anything like that because, you know, we're not going to preview every single solitary game and the bowls and all that type of stuff. We may kind of, you know, at the very end talk about kind of the hardcore barn burners outside of the big goal, you know, big games, and we'll kind of lightly preview this stuff. But we're not going to have a full-on back-and-forth prediction segment for all this stuff. We will wait a couple of weeks. But we're going to go ahead and do some recap, and then kind of lightly, like I said, well, we'll definitely preview the two games as far as just the first look at them. But like I said, we're not going to go too deep past the New Year's Six or whatever, just to kind of chatter about them a little bit. But yeah, I got to say, you know, I do not want to go to 8 teams. I've said that from the start. I think it totally takes away – well, it's not that I think. It does take away from the regular season. There's really no debate to be had there. So I'm happy – as a college football fan, that we don't have an argument at all this year. But that's not to say that we can't add a fifth or maybe a sixth team in there and put some buys or let 4 and 5 go at it to get the 4 spot. Or like we've mentioned before, 3 and 6, 4 and 5, and 1 and 2 get buys. Whatever the case, I'm willing to go there a little bit because we have had that TCU-Baylor issue potentially, even though Baylor's, you know, I always just chuckle at their non-conference, but that year. Well, in a lot of years, actually. But also Central Florida as well, you know. There's a debate to be had. And I like the idea of the Power Five. Well, every year, all Power Five conference, whoever comes out of that, the best team out of the Power Five, not all Power Five should be in the 4, you know, if we're being honest. But I like the 5th spot, so you could get a Boise State or a Central Florida or whatever, right? And you could also make room for the Power 5. Or you could make room for another team that's more deserving than a non-Power 5 or a Power 5. You know what I mean? Like a Pac-12 this year. Well, Utah and Oregon aren't good enough to get in the 4. That's cool. It's great this year, but there could be an SEC team lingering. They could have been even a Big Ten or like I said, a Memphis or whatever the hell, you know. So I'm not completely, you know, completely like, nah, I don't even want to talk about expansion. But 8 to me just makes no sense. The 16 is like, why are we playing these games then? What's the point of, you want to see a shitty non-conference in September? You're going to see a shitty non-conference in September if they give them 8 and 16. But there's no way they're 16. But anyway, before we get into this, though, if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, you can find it right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoveradio. So it streams live and archives. It's basically the headquarters. However, to listen to the College Ball Show under the Ropeadove Radio podcast umbrella, you can find it on iTunes, Player FM, Stitcher, Spricker, really all over the place, including the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, and that could be found on iHeartRadio as well. In fact, you can use your Siri, Alexa, Spotify, or TuneIn to find the shows. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT as of thegruelingtruth.net. And you know, one more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you already have, and you're just not happy. You need something. Try AT&T TV now, okay? They have a 7-day free trial, no annual contract. They can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. The plans start as low as $50 a month. It includes HBO right now. Try AT&T TV now. It's streaming cable. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host into the fold. Get him. We'll get him unmuted. What's going on, Marshall? How the hell are you?
I'm pretty good, sir. Pretty good. We've done probably, I don't know, 150 podcasts together, I would say, over the time. I have a question for you. I've never asked you. A little bit of a shot here, but I got to ask, is your shirt tucked or untucked as we do this podcast? I can't.
I heard they got him back. I heard they got him back, though. I heard they caught him on a delay game just the other, like last night or the last game or something, I heard. I saw on Twitter.
And rightfully so. My God.
Unbelievable.
I mean, obviously I'm a gambler, and I did not have the Wolves that night. But,
right.
I mean, that is an all-time, like, bad beat. Like, who comes up with that? And then for Anthony Towns to accidentally make a free throw when he tried to miss, and then you have a Hail Mary pass and Teague fall. I mean, I know we're talking NBA here, but just for a second, but that is literally one of the weirdest endings to an NBA game, like, in history. And then the Wolves lose overtime by like 13 points. But I just wanted to see if
first
you were...
regulation ending. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
just random. I'm like, wait, what's going on? I couldn't. Huh?
I know.
I'm lost.
Well, I remember checking my phone, and I remember just randomly, I'm like, okay, the Wolves are up with 1.1 seconds to
right.
go. I'm like, oh, no, they're good. And then I see Twitter that night. And I was like, oh, my God, they lost to an untucked jersey. And then in my mind, it should have been like, you know, if there's five people in the NBA you had to pick that would snitch, Chris Paul's probably on the top of everyone's list, along with maybe Patrick Beverley or Doc Rivers. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
It is a short list of Clipper ties that goes into that. But I can't believe that shit. That's awful. If one game comes down to cost the Wolves a playoff spot, I think every Wolves fan should send Chris Paul just something in the mail. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Although getting housed by the Lakers in the first round isn't necessarily the funnest thing.
True.
And you can
see
we ain't got nobody to guard him in that game. He went for 50.
Good old LeBron is still pretty young at heart. But to college football, this past Saturday, the basketball girls I coach, we're trying to just kind of let them experience all they can. So we took them to a college basketball game at North Texas. So my Saturday included, I turned off my notifications for my scores app and ESPN, and I set the DVR for the Memphis game and for the LSU game. And so I came home and I started playing them. And honestly, Chris, after about I watched like the first 10 live football minutes. And, you know, it's really hard for me being a sports fan to watch a full game on DVR when I know it's over. It's like, I know I'm watching the game, but it's like, what's going to happen? I got to start fast forwarding. And once I saw, like, you know, Fromm got dinged up and Fromm missed his first five wide open passes. And then their Georgia receiver got hurt. I'm like, this game is just not going to go Georgia's way. So started fast forwarding. I saw the LSU score keep changing, saw the Georgia score not change much at all. And it was just an LSU beatdown. And I'm not going to play the injury card because, I mean, if you're healthy this time of the year, that's a benefit to you. I mean, obviously, Georgia was not at 100% with one of their star wide receivers being out, another guy being out for getting into a fight prior to the week. But it really wasn't a football game. I was pretty excited because, as we mentioned in our last show, Georgia has done a great job, Chris, of representing itself in the SEC tournaments, even as a massive underdog to Bama the past couple of years, and they've put up pretty good fights. This really wasn't even much of a fight. Again, I'll say Georgia had a couple of injuries, but LSU is just a better team. And the play where Joe Burrow was in the pocket, avoided a sack, stepped up, stepped back behind two people, and then throws a rope for 45 yards kind of off a jog was just one of the plays. It's like they'll probably show that on his, like, Heisman clip footage or something. That was a miraculous play. I think it put the score from basically, like, it was 20-6, and then that 50, or it was probably ended up being a 70-yard play, kind of really iced it for sure. Another hell of a performance by LSU, and another game where Coach O beat a top 10 team. The guy's done it all year, man. I got to tip the hat to LSU.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to. You know what I mean? It's hard not to, and rightfully so. You know, they got their number one spot, which they should have been in there even before this game, but that's mm-hmm. okay. I think some of that had to do with that start. They're just like, all right, man, so we're not number one? All right, we're going to show you who's number one in the country.
Yeah.
So you guys got Georgia? Or you guys got Wisconsin? Okay, we got Georgia. Let's see where the, you know, let's see where it all lays out. I think they were just on a mission. Sure, you do have to put in some, you know, you don't want to be like, oh, LSU's defense is back, dude. They're back to what they were the last 10 years and, you know, all that type of stuff. You know, we know that that's not the case, especially when they're about to go against an offensive juggernaut in their own right. And we'll get to that game in just a second. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, that was just – it was just over. It was just over,
yeah,
man. And they, I really felt a lot of that was just, all right, dude, screw you. You know, you guys don't think we're number one. You keep bouncing us in and out. Trust me, we're the number one team. We've had the toughest schedule out of all the top tier teams. You know, of course, A&M and Auburn, and there's some other teams out there, but as far as the top tier teams, clearly, LSU
yeah.
had that. And I believe that year that they got unlucky to go against Bama that year again, didn't they go against seven ranked teams? I think that had been the most ever at that point in a season. I think it was seven ranked teams that year. And then it's like the first repeat in years, and LSU had to get Alabama again. It was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And 9-6 is how they got over that. That was supposed to be their 9-6 really tight game. Okay, you got past that. Now they're going to roll. That obviously wasn't the case that year. But they're not going to get beat 21-0 anymore, I'll tell you that. That's
no.
for sure. Clemson, you know, just had to make sure they gained ground just in case Utah won, too, when there's some weird shit going on. 62-17, they took care of business. Boise State took care of business as well, 31-10. Appalachian beat our Raging Cajuns 45-38. They made it a good game, very respectable. But and then Oregon, right off the bat, Oregon just talk about destruction. I mean, they what? And we were talking just a second ago, you know, offline, off air, and we were saying that once you see that score, you know Utah is going to be in trouble. And there was a moment where they kind of contained it. And I thought, you know what? They obviously need to step up their defense, but they can actually – now, hold on now. You know, I started thinking, all right, dude, it's not that bad. And then it was. Then it was 20-20 at half. And even when they got to 20-7, it still didn't really feel all the way right. And even at 23-15, I meant, not 23-7, but once they got 23-15, I thought, okay, maybe they forced a three and out, and then boom, they had to punt after having a drive. Boom, touchdown, interception, touchdown, you know, game's far over. 1, 2, 3 turnovers on down for Utah four turnovers on down for Utah on the game. And that's not going to get it done, Marshall.
I just can't believe how bad Utah's offensive line was. I mean, just for simply old school football, you know, you win your game at the line of scrimmage. And every time I saw Utah try to run the ball, who was a pretty good running team, like that's they're an old school NFL offense team, Oregon just killed them. They just didn't run the ball. It was a backfield sack, backfield tackle for loss. Huntley couldn't get comfortable. It was just complete domination. And as you mentioned, Utah's again is a very pro style offensive team. They're not really meant to come from behind. You know, they had a little bit of momentum there when they scored the touchdown in the second half. But when you can't run the ball, it's really hard to do much. I think we saw the Oregon defense that I kind of had heard about and bragged about during the season came out to play that night. Now, as we mentioned before the show, that kind of offensive, that kind of defense performance has to occur all the time if you want to be an elite team that is in the Final Four. Obviously, that defense didn't come to show against Arizona State. But it came out against Utah, Chris, and that game was just it was a wrap. Utah was a 6.5-point favorite, and I think that was due to the respect the way Utah had played of late. But when you can't block, you ain't doing anything. And tip the cap to Oregon's defense because they played lights out that night. They just had the hiccup a couple weeks before. And Utah, man, that's a tough loss. You know, at the start of the year, everyone was building you up saying you're a potential national title team. The praise was high. And you did about 95% of the work to get there. You had a hell of a season. You had one loss to USC. You got past that. I mean, you got to figure a school like Utah, that's a once in every 25-year kind of deal. Kind of like with the Gophers or with, Missouri.
Yeah.
Or a team that's respectable but not great. Like, that was their one out of 25 chance. And, damn, it was close. You just kind of came up short that night. So, yeah, but at least, you know, obviously Oregon and Utah are both rewarded with good bowl games. But kind of just a tough spot for the Pac-12. You know, they still don't have a representative or they still haven't had someone win a college football playoff game. So this could have been their chance. I'm not saying that.
Oregon beat Florida State.
Or no, what did I heard? Okay, you're right. There was
– they haven't had a champ.
A champ. Yeah, you're right. I the second I said that,
remember
my
that was like
wrong.
Winston. Remember that weird ass play that
he
had?
Yeah.
When I think about that game, it's Winston what's going on?
Yeah. So for Pac-12, man, just another chance. Just another chance to represent yourself, and
right.
you had a letdown. For quick Pac-12 news. Or I don't know if I mentioned this last year or not, my coaching wheel's all a little off whack, but USC is bringing back Clay Helton. And for other coaching news,
I was going to say, how are you going to lead with that? I mean, your boy got hired.
The man, the legend, the one and only, Lane Kiffin, is back in SEC territory. My, oh, my.
I'll give him credit for that, too, because that division's nothing nice. So I'll give him credit for that.
No. Yeah, and you know, he won two conference titles with Florida Atlantic in 3 years. Obviously, he's a name that has experience. He's worked with Saban, was head coach of Tennessee. You know, has been to USC. Like, the guy's, you know, been working his way back up.
Yeah.
A lot of people were kind of worried about the guy.
Too.
You know,
he
and he worked with Florida Atlantic, helped build a smaller program, and now he's getting rewarded with an SEC team. As you mentioned, you're kind of walking into murderer's row. Maybe he should have went to Mizzou, who's on the opposite side bracket. That might have been a little easier of a job. But I'm happy for my man. That just means we'll get to talk about him even more on the show. It's hard to drop in much Florida Atlantic talk, but we're Ole Miss now. We're in the SEC. the Lane Kiffin quota is going up, my dear co-host friend. It's going up.
Oh, God. I got one question for you. Has he called a play yet and put up his hands before they snap the ball?
The spring game's got to be only like 3-4 months away. So let's
right.
count it down.
So I know
to,
that's coming.
Over under 3.5 months.
We know mm-hmm. that's coming because at Bama, he did that about 18 times a game. He just play call, put his hands up like, got this one at the bank.
I'm not sure if Ole Miss has the talent Bama does, so you might get the hands flying up early might take a little bit of while. That ain't going to come quite naturally, I think, as it did in Bama.
Okay, so I didn't realize Bama – I thought the offensive talent came from the mastermind. That's what got that whole juggernaut on the other side of the ball going. I'm glad you, straightened that out. I thought that was the guy. but anyway – I'll give him credit. Like I said, he was a hot coordinator that could have taken a better job per se, but he went out and got some more years of head coaching experience. He could have stayed at Bama. and just done that for a couple more years. He could have done some other stuff. So I think it was, I think it's pretty cool that that's a good look for him. And hey, man, if he's going to prove he's a damn good coach, he's definitely going to get it. And it's, well, I shouldn't say it's possible to win at Ole Miss because how did they actually win at Ole Miss? You know, this last run, they cheated. Now we know that.
Sure.
But it's possible to cheat and be damn good at Ole Miss. Now you just gotta, you know, cover your tracks. But anyway, let's go to the Big Ten. Wisconsin jumped up 7-0 right out the gate. First drive, looking good. Turnover on downs happened, and they had like a, what was it, 9 plays. 4 minutes, Ohio State had the ball. Didn't get any points on it. Then it was kind of punt, punt. Then next thing you know, it's 14-6. Marshall, next thing you know, there's a fumble. And they had a nice drive going on that fumble, 10-play drive. Now, Wisconsin didn't take advantage of it. Then it was 14-7. But then I liked what I saw out of Wisconsin responding right back and getting up 21-7. You knew that Ohio State had the ball. You knew the game wasn't over. But at half, they were running the ball. They're moving the ball. They're creating turnovers, whether it's a fumble or turnover on downs. What was your mentality at half going, huh, I wonder if they can pull this freaking thing off? And we did talk about at some point Ohio State is due for a flat start offensively. And we kept looking at that 16-point spread. Remember we talked about, like, I think it was 16.5. And I'm like, man, can they tuck under that? I'm not saying they're going to win, but can they tuck under that? You know, as it turns out, they did. But what are your thoughts looking at that score at half going, huh, this could freaking happen here. And then it's like the lights went out and they thought it was a 30-minute game or something. And the lights went on and it's like once the levee broke – it was over, and they just never were able to even score another point, which really kind of blew me away. And you just kept thinking defensive-wise, like, hey, you guys need an 8-play drive and a field goal. Anything at this point, dude, your defense is not going to hold, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Everything was going good, as you said. And then, you know, of course, Ohio State starts off the second half with, you know, a quick drive touchdown. 5 plays, 75 yards in a minute 39. Like, okay. By the way, I know we kind of had a rough first half, but here we go. And then Wisconsin fumbles. And then Ohio State scores a field goal. And then Badgers miss a field goal. And then Ohio State does a fake punt. And all of a sudden, the score is 24-21. And as a Badger fan, you're like, they just scored 17 points in like 8 minutes. Like, what the hell just happened? You went from being up 21-7 to now you're down 3. And the whole momentum in the arena has completely flipped. You know, I expected the Ohio State to come back with a punch. I did. When they scored so easily on that first drive, I think I actually bet them to win the game. But I didn't think it would be a complete, just dominant third quarter. You know, the field goal, the fumble, the missed field goal, the fake punt, like everything just came undone. And I think, Chris, when you have all those events happen and Wisconsin has a quarterback that is essentially just a young kid that doesn't have much big game experience, I think he would have been the only person to pull them out of that situation. And he just isn't that good yet in Cohn. You know, That's the situation where you go to your veteran quarterback, you know, like a Burrow or a Tua or, you know, I'm drawing a blank on the kid from Clemson, whatever the hell his name is, you know, and drives you down the field and calms the crowd down and gets a score or gets a field goal. But there was no calm the crowd down drive. It was just mistake after mistake. And then after Wisconsin punts, then Ohio State scores another touchdown. And then Wisconsin punts and 3-9, and then Ohio State scores a field goal. And all of a sudden it's 34-21. At that point, you knew the game is over. So how you go from 21-7 in control to 34-21, kind of in the snap of fingers, that was just the Ohio State team we've seen this year. They just kind of sprinkled it in the third quarter. They've been a great second quarter team the whole year, Chris. They just accidentally saved it this game for the third quarter. And as you mentioned after that, it was a wrap. There was no sense of Wisconsin coming back in that game and no feeling of a surprise close end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It was just that short amount of time. You're looking at the clock and you're like, dude, they're already it's 21-17. Like, holy crap, this is
I know.
This is happening quickly. You look it up again and you're like, yeah, we're still in the third quarter. And you're right about the third quarter in general on both sides in Wisconsin. I mean, they third quartered the Gophers. They had great stretches in that third quarter as well, man. And both teams had that third quarter thing this year. But, man, that was a shocker. Not a shocker, like you said, for coming back, but just how quick it came back. And once you're there, you're like, okay, dude, it's over. And they had that 10-play drive, still couldn't get a field goal, missed a field goal. And it's just like,
yeah,
you're done, dude. It was a nice little run. You're done. KJ Dobbins, though, this guy, he hasn't gotten a lot of press clippings or whatever because there's so much talent out there, and a lot of it's been returning, even though he's a junior. But this guy down the stretch, man, he has been a monster for them, and he has that freshman, sophomore, and junior year where he got 1,000 yards each year, and he's really a big weapon for them, and obviously the Georgia transfer is just a perfect fit for that system. There's no way in the Georgia system he would have been able to throw the ball like this either, or where he was at anyway. So that's huge, man. I mean, he's not going anywhere. He's coming back next year too. So that's big, and it just sucks for Wisconsin to get up like that. But you know, it wasn't a shocker that Ohio State came back, like we both said. But it also wasn't a shocker that Ohio State was due for a first half where they came out a little stale, and that's pretty much what happened. So I did get the you know, they did cover as a dog like that, so that was nice and whatnot, and we'll talk a little bit about, like, the matchups coming up and all that after we talk just a couple more games here. Well, really, the big one was the really tight one that went to overtime, obviously. Oklahoma and Baylor. Oklahoma started out pretty damn good. Got up 7-0. There was a fumble. They got up 10-0. They had a drive, or they got the ball back. The defense was playing good on both sides. Took a while for this one to really turn into a score fest. Then all of a sudden, it was, even though 23-30. They scored a bunch of points in a small amount of time. But, you know, I thought, okay, they might start jumping on them here, you know. And they fumbled, which led to a field goal, then another fumble, and then an interception, which led to the touchdown. And before you know, Baylor's actually up 13-10. And I'm like, all right, that's pretty good. And the quarterback play, you talk about Brewer, and the quarterback play was really telling in this one, obviously. When you look at the numbers just in general, 9-27. For 238, two touchdowns. That's nice and everything. They went, you know, they had to go. They used three quarterbacks. So that's going to be tough to get it done. And then their running game. Listen to the list of the guys they had running the ball, Marshall. 3 carries, 19 yards. 9 carries, 6, 15 yards. 3 carries, 12. That's obviously pretty good. 4 carries, 4 yards. 6 carries, -3. 4, -12. Now those are quarterbacks, but overall, 29 carries for 35 yards. That's obviously not going to get done. And, you know, kudos to them, though, Baylor, to hang around like they did when it got a little dicey early and to have a lead. And so I thought that was a pretty respectable game considering their offense just was not able to look as good as they have. We know that their defense played really well this year, and I think to an extent it did in this game at times. But still, you know, it wasn't enough to get it done. Oklahoma did get up to 23-13, and I kind of felt like, well, that's about it. That was a nice little game. Watch, Oklahoma's going to start taking it over. They're up by 10. They're going to put their foot down, and That was not the case, you know, at all. Quick strike, boom, 81 yards, you know. It's 23-20, and obviously went to OT, and Oklahoma got the job done and whatnot. But you really hit it on the nose last week talking about the quarterback play and how the defense has really been key for Baylor all year.
Yeah, and I mean, I just – Brewer's good but not great. You know, but of course, in the second half of that game, I think part of the reason Baylor came back was because they had the backup in, because Brewer got, I mean, it, I feel bad. The kid had just got smoked against the turf. The Baylor's backup quarterback couldn't throw a ball to save his life. He threw up like a lot of Hail Marys that somehow got caught, but he could run. And obviously, if you're Oklahoma, you're playing the whole week or 2 weeks for Brewer, and then, you know, this guy comes in who's athletic as hell and can't really throw the football. And it kind of throws your defensive game plan off. And that kid did about as good as he could. And, you know, a question my coach was asking me when I went to that game Saturday, she's an OU fan, was why didn't Baylor go for it? And honestly, I kind of wonder why, because Baylor had the ball. It was 4th-and-3 on, like, the Oklahoma 10 with about under a minute to go. I get that the numbers there are telling you to kick a field goal. But you got to imagine with your third string quarterback going into overtime with Oklahoma, you know, I kind of wondered why you don't go for it there. Obviously, you know, the overtime idea is, you know, it's the right thing to do, kick a field goal there. But again, it's your third string quarterback. And I, you know, I don't think that would have been a bad gamble. If you don't get it, it's game over. You know, in overtime, they couldn't even score. But I kind of do wonder why they didn't, you know, just suck it up and go for it there. Because if you get the touchdown, you know, you got about, I think it was maybe closer to 35 seconds in the game. You just got to D up a little bit. Now you have a chance. So I thought they maybe got a little too passive there. Maybe I'm a little too crazy for thinking that. But a hell of an effort. You know, when your second and third string quarterbacks play all out and do all they can and you lose an OT, that's a tough way to go for Baylor. But maybe they should have just called up the old Philly play, which all the NFL teams seem to do, and use that for a touchdown, Chris.
Yeah, that 4th-and-3, it was 3:25 left in the game.
My phone on my app was I thought it was under a minute, so that's
yeah,
why
it says 3:25 right now. And Oklahoma had the ball for two. They had a 4-play, 2:23 drive and punted.
Oh, okay. Okay. Then I take that back. I thought there was under a minute to go. So when I was checking my phone, I must have – the update must throw me off.
Well, I know
how
that
a little
is.
More,
because I checked my phone on the bowl games, and I spread a bunch of nonsense to my Wisconsin friend. So
okay.
I understand how that goes. I totally
Touché. All right. Well, that adds up then. Seeing the quarterbacks I don't trust, God, again – Brady White, and I compare Brady White, Memphis's quarterback, to either he's really like a Jared Goff or a Mitch Trubisky, where he's surrounded with a good coach and a lot of talent, and is just an average quarterback. He was 18-40 for 253. Memphis again grinds one out against Cincinnati. Cincinnati's got to just effing hate Memphis. You played him last week to host the title game, Memphis holds on. You played him this week to win the conference title, Memphis holds on. I'd be pretty hatred or pretty.
It's good betting, though. It's good betting on that spread. That's back to back weeks.
Oh yeah,
they tried to shrink it, and it still got it.
I know. If you bet the Bearcats, that makes you a little happier as a fan. They're at least pulling in money for you. But again, a typical Cincinnati made a little bit of a more lower scoring game, and Memphis did just enough. They had a couple of just, you know, track athlete kind of plays where Memphis just does that. I can't imagine if they had a great quarterback what it would be. Granted, their coach now is leaving too. Speaking of the coaching circle, I've been talking about this guy quite a bit this year, because I think when you can turn Memphis into a legit top 20 program, 25 in the past 3 years, you should be recognized. Mike Norvell is going to FSU. I mean, he's got his hands full. I think he's
they
walking
need an
into,
offense.
They do.
That's for sure.
He's walking into a college with a history much more than Memphis. But his I mean, I don't know. He's
he might be able to find some track guys with some speed in Florida. My guess is
that, true. True. You know, the one surprising thing, not to get on a Florida State kick here, we can move on after this, but the thing that I've listened to, they're a sport gambling person I listen to and think is awesome. He said the biggest issue with Florida State is they have some of the worst facilities in the whole country. And that really blew my mind that a football powerhouse who's been good for, I mean, who's had a history of past 20, 30 years, almost since I've been alive, who's been a respectable football program.
They won a championship in 2013, too,
Yeah, and I just don't get how that a Florida State school can have garbage facilities. And it has to hurt recruiting, you know, with – I know that's something the Gophers have been pressing for with, Jerry Kill before, you know, and literally every college football school trying to upgrade what they have to impress recruiting and also just to – make your players stronger. You know, there's so many pros that go into building up your program. And the fact that Florida State's got garbage facilities, maybe that's why it is a little more difficult to compete there as it's been of late. I mean, I know they get the skills, but it still blows my mind, Chris, that I would never pick them to struggle financially because, I'm sure they got the donors, but for whatever reason, they haven't upgraded their facilities. So I'm sure that might be one of the first things on his checklist.
Well, here's the deal. It is in motion as we speak. I remember seeing this. I remember not reading a lot of the detail, but I remember them getting the funding. This article is – you're right, though. Your point is exactly right. But this is about 2 years ago. They announced a $60 million football facility only, meaning, you know, they need to get their own stuff and have a separate thing. And they're trying to raise $100 million over a 5-year stretch. So,
okay.
I guess it's going to be maybe just in time for this dude. But you're right. It's unbelievable, especially, like I just said, they just won a national championship not even long ago. That's unbelievable. And they were in the playoffs as well the year after.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It blew my mind. But nonetheless, Florida State really
Miami
matter.
Was the same way, too. It was. It's not now, but it was. It was the same way. And they finally got people to, you know, turn that around. But I think maybe because there's so much talent in the state, they're like, we're good, dude. We don't need it because we got talent, you know. And it's like, but especially nowadays, the last 5 to 10 years, these kids just like new stuff, you know?
Yeah. That same with, like, you know, Texas putting, like, little TVs in the lockers. You know, whatever glitches or apps or whatever little thing you can do, that is the generation of kids now where they want to see the electronics or whatever the new trendy thing is that really does maybe convince a kid to look at a school more so than the name of a coach, you know, for some kids, maybe what the school has to offer, maybe he catches his eye before he sits down and talks to the people who's going to coach him or something like that. So yeah, and I guess they're working on it. And that's obviously enough money, to be glamorous. Speaking of Florida though, Lane Kiffin did win his last game at FAU. They won 49-6. They whooped UAB. So a good note to go out on. I would assume him and Norvell are probably heading to their school. It's time to get going on recruiting. I mean, I would enjoy Kiffin coaching Florida Atlantic in the bowl game, but I'm just from how this stuff normally goes and the way his kids played for him, I would assume Kiffin's out the door, Ole Miss.
He did his presser today, too.
So okay.
I doubt he does the introduction presser and then, like, all right, I'll see you in a month, guys. Take it easy. Have a good one.
And you know, and his kids are kind of lucky. Normally, as a coach, you know, you're put in a situation, okay, you finish your regular season. Now you have to, you know, say bye to your kids and then you don't get to coach them in a bowl game. He actually got to kind of have a send off party with the conference championship. So him and Norvell, I mean, that's perfect. You know, hey guys, it's been great coaching. Let's finish on a good note. They both win their conference titles. Now you're walking out the door with a little more grace, I guess, or however the hell you want to phrase that. But I think we're ready to – I might as well – we'll have the one debate.
Yeah,
Chris,
whatever we do, let's not bring up Lane Kiffin's fucking name anymore, okay?
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
So the one debate question, Me and my friends in our group chat, not that that means jack shit to anyone, you know, had been expecting that we thought LSU should be the number one seed, but with how the committee had put Ohio State up and the way the committee was ranking Big Ten teams above a lot of other schools or higher than AP poll than expected, we kind of thought that Ohio State would stay number one, but it should have been LSU. I think the committee made the right choice, because I know that everyone was saying, you know, Ohio State schedule, blah, blah, blah. And it was tough. You know, you did just play Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio, or Penn State, Michigan, and Wisconsin. But LSU just played Bama, Auburn, and A&M. So, I mean, if we're really going to talk about schedule, I still think we got to look at LSU's schedule was much more difficult than Ohio State's this year. And if we're going to compare non-conference, okay, Cincinnati, I know they're a good team, but are they great? I would say, and I hate Texas, but I think the week two Texas team that played LSU is better than Cincinnati. I know Texas kind of fell apart this year, but I don't see how the schedule argument really could be fair just because simply the SEC is better than the Big Ten. I think Ohio State, Chris, had a phenomenal year this year, and they did play very well. But if we're just comparing opponents to opponents, I still think the SEC was a notch above, and I think that really was the final decision as to what bumped it up. Now, why the committee put them ahead to start with, who exactly knows? I think that's a very fair point. But I do think they made the right decision in the end. Do you agree with LSU being the number one? Because having to face Clemson is a big freaking thing. I know that's not necessarily factored in prior to the bowl committee, because who knows who's going to be where. But, right. I mean, Ohio's LSU, and I know Coach Rose said we'll play anyone, anywhere, we'll go over to Canada. I know he has that mentality, but as a player and a coach, you're like, okay, we at Oklahoma, Ohio State's got Clemson. We won the coin flip discussion there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, yes and yes. Yes, LSU should have been number one. They never should have been knocked out of their spot.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you get knocked out of your spot when you just beat Bama? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, that makes no sense. And that's what happened the next week. What, because they beat Michigan or Penn State or whatever? Come on, dude. Like, I just didn't see it. It got tighter as the year went on, though. I'll say that.
Sure. Yeah.
It did. But it's not like they – I mean, who had a tougher matchup in the final? I think Georgia's a better team than Wisconsin.
Oh yeah, agreed completely. You know? Yes,
100%. So, I don't know. I'm happy with it. Either way, you're right though. And I say yeah because you're right. I mean, Clemson is a whole different beast on both sides of the ball. Now we're gonna find out if that's 100% factual. Because remember, a couple years ago they came in there with a bit of a light schedule and got beat up and knocked out of that playoff in the semifinals. Remember that? So
yeah, you're right. You're right.
And the next year they went with, the sophomore quarterback or the freshman quarterback. So because they're like, we can't have that happen again. So I think they got it right, but I also agree that, you know, that team is much happier because now it's just an offensive back and forth pace. I mean, matchup wise, Clemson, Ohio State. Phenomenal matchup. It's up to 2 now. It opened at 1.5 Clemson. I wouldn't have been shocked to see Ohio State open at 1.5. I think they actually should probably be the favorite, but I understand it is what it is. It does feel like they're kind of living off the Clemson from last year. I also understand because in my weekly prediction blog, there was a couple of times where I said, you know what? Clemson's for sure going to win, but not by 32 points, you know? And then they fucking won by 40, you know? So I understand the whole kicking people's asses, and they did that. And they can win the whole thing. There's no doubt about it. But I still think it's resume. It can't be just dominates. It's dominance, excuse me. It's resume, too. Now, obviously, the committee doesn't make the fucking line, so that's a whole different ball
game. No.
But I think Ohio State should be the favorite. But just by it's a 50-50 game in my mind. But, yes, a much tougher matchup. But it's a brilliant matchup And also LSU-Oklahoma, just from a offensive standpoint, is super awesome. Like, you want to talk about some teams that will go up and down the field. They got the number set at 76, Marshall.
I want to say that that I believe it was round two. Oh, gosh, I might say Kiffin again. I want to say the Bama-Clemson round two over-under was around 69 to 71. I don't think it was quite 76, but in that area, you know, when you have great people calling plays. But no, Chris, I think that number's about damn accurate. I think LSU is a more complete team, clearly. And the point spread shows that with them being minus 12. But this LSU defense, I mean, Lincoln Riley is not going to get shut out. I think LSU is a better team. But you give him 3 weeks to prepare, he's going to come up with something. And God forbid, or God bless, Jalen Hurts can finally heal up his body. I can't believe
that
guy
made it through. Yeah, he had another 23 carries.
how he made it through the year without being hurt is just, I mean, that dude's got to be a LeBron James type of body, which he took hit after hit and never backed away from it.
They might as well just move the running back and just go five wide receiver set and say, screw it.
Honestly, yeah. You're right, though. It will be very fun games. I was kind of hoping that there'd be one in Jerry World. I know the tickets probably kicked my butt, but I paid for the World Series and that was fun. But I would have forked out. I'm guessing probably would have been probably 300 to 400 for a nosebleed. But to see Oklahoma and LSU and that rivalry, that would have been pretty cool. I think though, this
really
year
cool.
the games are in Arizona and Georgia. Obviously, LSU goes to Georgia. If you don't know,
it's on a Saturday night.
I know.
Before the New Year's, and I love that. That's cool.
Yeah,
it has its own weekend, you know?
Mm-hmm. It always used to be the New Year's Eve night, which is fun, too, because New Year's Eve, there really isn't a whole lot to do, you know, before you go and have your fun drinking or do whatever you want to do. I always did love the New Year's night game, but now it's
Saturday.
And
then the ratings came back, and they're like, huh, okay, we'll never fucking do that again.
Yeah.
Unless they have to, like, unless the NFL's got to go on a Sunday, you know what I mean?
Or you know, maybe, you know, let's say this year college football, maybe I think it is on like a Wednesday, you know, if we'd done New Year's Eve. Maybe if it was a Friday or Saturday, naturally they don't care. But, perfect, too, as a football fan, Chris, because that Sunday is week 17 NFL. So, I mean, you got the main bowl games, you have week 17 NFL, and then you have New Year's Day. The New Year's Day bowl games are phenomenal, too. It's a great slate of time to have off and enjoy football, beer, and time with loved ones or ignoring loved ones, depending on how your TV schedule goes. but I'm with you. I think we have two good games. I will disagree with you a little bit. If I was Vegas, and I think they're afraid to do it just because I think they know if they were open to spread up either way, someone's going to pound the other side and they probably think it's evenly matched. And this is off of respect from last year, but I would put Clemson at about minus 3. I just think, okay, I know they have not been tested. They have not nearly played the teams Ohio State has. But I just think when it comes down to it, they still got that team from last year. And I know they're different, but
They don't have the team from last year. Ask the defensive line if they have the team from last
year. I was going to correct that.
All right.
So I think they have the same DNA and mentality. Okay. I know the team is massively different. I still think, though, with what Dabo's developed, I just think I'm surprised that they're not giving them a little bit of maybe love from the past years and just make them the favorite. I really thought they would be. Again, if you're
what would be the difference between 2 and 3, though? Because they're the favorite. Clemson's the favorite by 2 points.
Oh, okay. Well, I know it opened at 1. So I guess I didn't know it was going up. And I thought you said did you say Ohio State you think should be favored?
Yeah, opened at 1.5 that I saw, and now I'm looking at ESPN that says 2. I think based off resume they should be the favorite, but the committee doesn't make the line, so I understand it.
Gotcha.
2 or 3, you know, 2 or 3 points either way, I'm actually cool with, because I'm not saying Ohio State's going to win per se. I'm just saying it kind of surprised. I actually thought Ohio State would be like a one. I thought they'd open up the 1.5. That's basically the difference.
Okay. Well, and I think one thing that will be interesting, and people have given Ryan Day a lot of credit, I mean, to come in and do what he's done since Meyer left, and obviously I can't stand Meyer, and God, he might be the Cowboys head coach. That would break my heart. But he always has teams ready to play in the big games. So can Day, who's had a great year coaching, can he get his team ready? Because the one thing I'll say about Meyer, he almost never, ever lost a big game. So it'll be interesting to see, and I know that, you know, they've tried to copy his footsteps, but this is, you know, Dabo Swinney's, I don't know, fifth or sixth big game. This is, and I'm not really considering Wisconsin a big game, because I think even if Ohio State lost this past weekend, they're still in. So I don't, more than likely, unless it was a beatdown. I think this is his first big game. How does he react? You know, so I think that's a little bit of an interesting fact.
Yeah, and it's a different offense too. That's why they brought that dude in. It's a tad bit different. So,
You know, speaking of, you know, great bowl games though, the day those teams play each other, I got lucky. I've always kind of liked Memphis, as you know. Memphis plays Penn State at the Cowboys Stadium, and that game's at 11. That day, and yeah, 3 o'clock is Oklahoma LSU. At 7:30 is
Iowa State too. That day,
Jesus. At 7:30, it's obviously Clemson, Ohio State. You know, other great bowl games. We were talking about this before as well. Your Gophers are playing Auburn. I mean, talk about maybe the most, you know, underdog team of the year in your Gophers. Gets to truly get tested, and I don't see why Auburn would want to lay an egg here. I mean, they had a tough year, and I you know, sometimes, and we'll get to this in bowl games when we do a bowl game show, maybe even if it's a small one for gambling, but there will be times where a team in a big conference that's like kind of known as a blue blood team will go to a bowl game and kind of just mail it in just because they're like, oh, shucks, we didn't make it. Kind of like what Georgia did last year to Texas. Georgia has the dumbass fake punt. They lose to Bama. Their title hopes are gone.
Yeah, Bama, Utah, a couple years back. You know, we've seen it. Yeah, for sure.
But I don't think Auburn has – I know that they're playing Gophers, but I don't think Auburn ever really planned on going to the title this year. So I think you're going to get the best test that P.J. Fleck and the Gophers have had to handle, and that actually will be a great experience for your team just to kind of just, you know, face the best team you all have played since he's been the coach. What does your early gut say going into that game just for fun? What are you feeling and thinking about that matchup and how it could play out?
Well, I'm pissed that we got the lesser of bowls and we got the harder matchup. I'll tell you that right now. I'd much rather play the team that they beat in Oregon and some other teams. But, yeah, I mean, I agree because they're already 9-3, dude. You don't think they want 10 wins? You know what I mean? Like, no, they're going to be ready. They're going to be ready to fucking play, dude. If they've been playing tough games all fucking year. So – yeah, man, I'm pissed, you know, but I'm super happy, all in the same breath because, you know, it is nice to have a New Year's Day bowl that happened in 2014. This one's even a more legit one, Gopher-wise anyway, so I'm really happy. And you're right, like, this is going to be the best matchup we've had, and also, you know, the like, they played six offensive linemen. It's kind of weird they did rotate this center in for depth. And so they literally, they had a starting lineup. They stuck with it. But then during the game, they would throw in a center and move stuff around a little bit. So my point is they have all six of their offensive linemen back next year, the Gophers do. And they played probably a good 15 to 18 games now as a unit. And, you know, so next year and the year after, I think there's only two seniors out of that group for next year. So that's huge right there, going against an SEC team like that. And, you know, I'm a little – it's like, oh, Nick's cool. You know, at least we don't have a quarterback that's going to kill us, right? But, you know, you give his coach a month, he'll probably come up with some fucking shit. You know what I mean? So I'm a little like, ugh. But, yeah, no, I like it. I like it a lot. And I think, you know, the defensive line is going to be interesting to replace next year because they were all seniors for the Gophers, but it was a mixed bag of people. A Notre Dame transfer who was only a rotational guy. a guy, a walk-on who's a fifth-year senior. It was random dudes besides Coughlin from Eden Prairie, who was a four-star. So a lot of these guys, now that they're going to take over the spots, have been here for 2 and 3 years, and they got recruited to play this defense. So my point is 80% of the Gopher squad this year was freshmen and sophomores or redshirt in there. You know what I mean? So there's going to be a lot of 2 and 3 year players that have been in the system. So I really think that I kind of feel like we'll get humbled, but that's a good humbling to go in the off season with, rather than, oh, dude, 10 wins, 11 wins, we got an easy bowl win. This is going to be, you know what I mean? Like,
sure,
we already made it. No, because Auburn's going to humble us. So that, I really like that. I think Michigan-Alabama is interesting. Oregon, Wisconsin.
The same time as that game.
Yeah, you're right. They actually did that with that Notre Dame game, too, that we were talking about, along with Memphis, that Memphis game. It's kind of weird. I thought they'd chunk that up a little bit more. But that's okay with me, because I got the day off, and I just will, you know, tune in once in a while. The Oregon-Wisconsin style matchup, Georgia-Baylor's pretty damn good. I do like some of these hardcore barn burner stuff. You mentioned the Memphis, Penn State, the USC, Iowa is pretty interesting. There's some interesting matchups, man. I'm looking forward to the bowl season. The way we look at bowls, like, so many casual fans of college football go, they get so lost in the bowl games. Like, if you think they're shit, then don't pay attention to them. Are you staying up at night because of it? Like, we all agree that they're shit. A lot of them are shit to begin with, and they don't need to. And even forcing a 7-5 thing, 8-4 to make a bowl game, that'd be great. But we know there's ties, and guess what? We live in America. We take capitalism to the extreme here. That's what we do. So is it a really big surprise that they've done that with the bowl system? No, it's really not. Is it, you know, a surprise that the government hasn't come in on the NCAA and say, hey, what the fuck are you guys doing here? Wait, you guys don't pay taxes? What is this scam? Well, there's a reason for all this stuff. So my thing is, it's just don't watch the bowls until a couple days before New Year's then. If they bug you that much, of course it sucks that 6-6 teams play each other and shit like that. I understand there should be half the amount of bowls, but just don't pay attention to them. Don't make it out to be, oh, college football is this huge joke because there's 10 or 12 extra bowls that we don't need. Yeah, we get it, but we're extreme capitalists, dude. That's what we do here in this country. So you don't think that's going to play into the bowl systems that have been around for 100 years? Like, come on, dude. You know, I guess that gets me a little bit. And also remember, we used to match up for so many years. We used to match up 1 against 7. 2 against 5, 1 against 9. It was all affiliated stuff. Now, then we went to 1 and 2. At least 1 and 2 face each other. Now we got 1 through 4, and they're facing each other. Like, it is improving a whole lot. And if Central Florida is pissing you off that much that you know they'd be national championships 2 years ago, then I don't know what to tell you, dude. I just don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Another fun game to watch, Arizona State, Florida State. I mean, can Herm Edwards get another win? Obviously, that'll be – I don't know if Norvell is going to coach, but Florida State probably wants to finish your off a good note. As you mentioned, USC-Iowa, that should be a hell of a fun game. I don't know who the hell is going to win. A coach that's been there for 20 years versus a coach that keeps thinking he's going to get fired. Let me ask you just for a jump ahead. You know, I mentioned about laying flat spots, you know, laying flat and choking in a bowl game. Does Bama do that? I mean, this is your first year as Alabama where you're not in the college football playoff. I think, you know, the first five they've made it. So, okay, you're in a playoff game. You don't have Tua. You're playing against a Michigan team who, I mean, to their fan base, beating Bama is probably going to look huge whether Bama tries or not. Chris, I think this could be a great place to bet Michigan. You're getting 7 points. Bama really has nothing to gain. Their fan base, I'm sure they're going to go because those people are nuts. But honestly, if they've become so spoiled, like I was with Golden State for the years there, that who gives a shit really about playing Michigan? Like, we're not in the Final Four. Like, you know, you got to have the sour taste of Auburn beating you. I could see Bama kind of laying an egg here. What would you think about that one?
Yeah, I mean, it is ripe for the picking. Maybe, you know, but they're also playing Michigan. I mean, so it's like,
true.
All right, dude, but this isn't, I don't look at this as that Utah team even. That, by the way, Urban Meyer was coaching back then. Or not Urban Meyer, but.
No, yeah. Well, yeah, you're right.
Was it?
Yeah. Was that the very end of his run? I think so.
No, because he. Or, I don't think so, because he was already facing Florida at the beginning of Saban's run, wasn't he, when he was at Florida?
It was really close in timing, right around there. Yeah. I'm not sure. But yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that it does stand out that way. I just don't know if offensively, you know, they can fucking make a count, Michigan. I don't know. But that is a good call. Let's wrap this puppy up, though, real quick. LSU quarterback Joe Burrow, Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts, Ohio State teammates Justin Fields and Chase Young are headed to New York this weekend as the finalists for the Heisman Trophy. Teammates Fields and Chase Young. I don't know about that. I'm just finding that out right this second.
Well, Chris and I will be back again soon. I think we might have to do a little bit of a gambling bowl pod, maybe just like a 20-minute quick hitter, because even if you don't like the bowl games, if you're a gambler, there's nothing better. And I say this with a grin on my face because I've had some painful bad beats I've talked to Chris about. But if you want to enjoy the bowl games, bet 20, 30, 50 bucks on every game. And I know some of these teams at 6-6 don't look great, but they
hey, it'll give you a reason to follow it, no doubt.
These kids are playing as good as they can. Because to a lot of 6-6 or 7-5 teams, they're obviously never, ever going to beat Bama or Clemson. But going to a bowl game, maybe the school hasn't been there in 4 years. Maybe this is the seniors' last hurrah. So you always get something that you never see, and coaches always do shit that you've never seen happen the regular season. I guarantee I will have a rant later this month or in December where it's like, Chris, I bet this team to win. The game was good. And then the coach did blah, 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 which you never effing see. So just bet bowl games for fun, creates a little drama, makes you enjoy your favorite beer or drink. Make it a little entertaining. But until then, before we have our gambling pods and breaking down the bigger games as they get closer, have a great week with your family. The holidays are coming.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But we do have to tell you, we are going to take about a two-week break. Let me look at the time frame. We're going to take at least a 10-day break or something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
That's usually what we do. We take, so we won't be back next Monday, but we will find a day before, you know, a lot of these big bowl games, you know, come in. So we'll have some recap, but then we'll also preview not just the big hitters, but a variety of games we just talked about too. Let's just make that clear for our audience. Sorry about that.
No, you're right. We'll hit on the first couple bowl games. Who gives a shit? It's like, I think Buffalo's playing Michigan or Eastern Michigan, but whatever. But we will get to the gambling. It does make it fun. We will do a more in-depth preview of the New Year's Day, which is loaded with Minnesota, Alabama, Michigan. Obviously, we got to break down the Final Four matchups as they get closer. So tons and tons of fun. But until then, do some bowl game research. Make it an enjoyable December. Hopefully get some good luck on your side. The boys are out tonight. Have a great night. Peace.